Jill Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist. She joins us periodically to talk about phenology, or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hello.
Talk to us about monarchs, the insect kind.
Okay. I've never met a six-legged monarch that I didn't like. Well, one of our listeners had reported seeing a group of monarchs migrating down the shore of Lake Superior back in September, like around the 21st, 22nd, and wondered about that and about, you know, just how they're doing. And so definitely worth talking about a little bit as one of the many beautiful things that happen in the fall. Maybe I'll start by talking a bit about why we see monarchs at all, really, because, you know, we don't really think of our landscape as being full of milkweed, right?
No.
Which most everyone who pays any attention to monarchs knows that their larval form, the caterpillars, have a singular foraging host. They only eat milkweeds and nothing else. And it's not that we don't have any milkweed, but it's not a very common plant in Cook County in particular this far north. So maybe we should just talk a little bit first about monarchs, how we happen to see them. In fall, most monarchs by November that come from our part of the monarch range in North America will end up in Mexico in November, early-ish November, and which is to say that there are some unknowns about where all monarchs go, but a lot of them go there, the majority, as far as we know, from this part of the range. And when I say this part of the range, I mean from Texas all the way north to the very southern edges of Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and all the way across to the Maritimes. Okay, so it's a big area east of the Rocky Mountains. The only other population separate from the range I just mentioned is a West Coast population, which people may have heard of. So it's really California, for the most part, that they overwinter in anyway. The monarchs that come through here are in this east of the Rocky Mountains population. And they, as far as we know, mostly go to Mexico for the winter. So they're down in Mexico. They spend the winter there in a very small area in some high elevation fir forests in the trees there that have just the right kind of conditions where they can be pretty quiescent but not freeze. They can't be freezing. So they're not using up a lot of energy. They're biding their time there. Then in March, they start to move north.
The same ones that moved south earlier?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they move north, but they don't go that far north. So they just get a little ways into the continent of North America. They lay eggs, and there's a new generation that is born and continues the journey to the north. And those are the monarchs that we see move through here in the spring, are ones that were born further south in North America already in the year. So they move through here where they can find some decent habitat. Milkweed, basically, is what these adults are looking for. They will take up residence and lay eggs. That could be someplace in isolated pockets in Cook County and along in northern Minnesota. And if you go further west in Minnesota, there can be a lot more milkweed, and you can see hundreds of caterpillars walking along some big stand of milkweed. Those caterpillars that are then born by that generation that arrives in the north, they in turn grow up, lay eggs, and those butterflies become adults. And so it's really four generations that happen, and it's that fourth generation that actually does the migration back to Mexico.
To a place they have never been.
To a place they have never been.
And right. Their parents haven't been.
And their parents weren't. No, it's just incredible. Yeah. And of course, fraught with difficulties, migration is. And so that's kind of the the life of a monarch. As I said, there are lots of unknowns, even though we know a lot about, because of great interest and special efforts to try to track monarchs and their movements. We know a lot more about migration routes and where butterflies are hatching and coming from and going to. But there are also new things that are showing up, like a cluster of overwintering in Florida or places that haven't been on the radar. So butterflies, like every other species, are trying to adapt to the changes that are going on of all kinds in their world. Everything from habitat loss to extremes of weather, more frequent climate change, all these things can influence behaviors. And so we don't have any real idea how they might adapt or not. They are vulnerable in many ways, and there have been excellent documentation of, in general, a significant decline in monarch numbers over many decades now. Up until about 4 years ago, it was a really precipitous decline for this overwintering population in Mexico. And that's really a key time to get a general assessment of, well, how did we do over this particular seasonal cycle of monarch's life? So there had been a really precipitous decline that had been documented. And some of that was clearly related to habitat loss of overwintering habitat, but also documented situations where lots of butterflies were observed having been downed by weather or whatever. But it's clear that they can be affected by, as I mentioned, habitat loss throughout their range, including milkweed and also pesticide use. Like most insects, they can be affected by different pesticide uses. But about 4 years ago, the overwintering population in Mexico over the past 4 years has stabilized for at least a few years now. And last year, so by that I mean the numbers overwintering from 2018-19, that winter, was a major improvement over the previous couple of years. So that was definitely positive news. So it was good to see some rebound there. But they're definitely really a vulnerable species to lots of different things. And migration, in particular, success can be quite variable. There's some evidence now to suggest that the migration success can be not just direct, like, well, a monarch dies in Texas or Minnesota before it gets to Mexico, or it dies in Mexico, but it can also be these adult butterflies that are coming from the north to the south or going the other direction, but especially going to the south where they're going to spend the winter, that if they experience a lot of stressors, they may be less fit to survive that period of just quiescent times in Mexico.
Are they eating in Mexico?
No.
They're not eating at all?
I don't think so.
Oh, they're just relying on reserves?
Yeah, they're just hanging out. If people haven't seen images of it, the images are so striking of all these butterflies just perched, hanging in various positions in these trees. And, you know, that doesn't mean they never move around. They do fly around, but they're not doing a lot of active feeding or really in a situation where they can tank up, so to speak, until they take off and the weather in the lower elevations has improved and their nectar sources are there. And then the adults can start feeding and moving and setting themselves up for laying that first of the generations that will get them to the north and back again. So a lot going on. The California population has been documented now for, I think, at least 45 years in decline and has just experienced tremendous precipitous decline. So what will happen? No one knows, but there certainly isn't a very positive outlook there for the population that overwinters in California.
And do you think they came this far north to begin with because there were native milkweed all over this area at one time?
We don't have some of the really common species that are in eastern North America, but we do have a species here in northern Minnesota. If you're in northern Minnesota, in the prairie areas and then into the Canadian provinces where the prairie extends into Canada, there's lots of milkweed there and multiple species. So that's the big draw. That's where most of the production of monarchs is happening that are coming through parts of Minnesota are in those prairie areas to the north of us, and they're coming down through Minnesota as they make their way to the south. It's just amazing to think that east of the Rockies, metapopulation occupies what millions of square miles that it's taking advantage of as it goes through these various generations. And then it's all funneling down in the fall to this really tiny area. It's like 16 acres total or some unbelievably small area. It's not all in just one spot. It's some clusters of these peaks that have the right habitat, but it's an incredibly tiny area that so many of these butterflies are using.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Well, Tel Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods. Thanks for talking to us today about monarchs.
You're welcome.